Are we guaranteed to be with God in eternity? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we jump into our exciting topic today, I'd like to remind you of our national conference, one of my favorite things. It happens on October 26th through October 29th, and it's taking place at Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel, Texas. For more information about that, you can go to faithalone.org and click on events. Well, let's jump right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We're taking your questions today, and here is a question from, and I don't even know if this is a made-up name, so I don't know, Newker. So I don't know. He says, hello and God bless you. How about Galatians 5, 19 to 21? Doesn't this passage say that if we as believers continue to do these things, we will not be with God in eternity? Well, it's always a good thing to go to the passage and read it and see if it literally says what the person wonders that it says.
That's a good point.
So Galatians 5, 19 to 21. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. Sounds like the news. Sounds like I'm reading the news. It sounds like my Facebook in the morning. It's very discouraging. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Now we're talking about my kids, I think. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now the question was, doesn't that passage say that as believers, if we continue to do these things, we will not be with God in eternity? And this might be a shallow response, but just as a literal reading of the passage, it does not literally say that.
No, it doesn't say that. What it says is the person who does these things, and by the way, the word practice at the end of verse 22, those who practice such things, is the Greek word do. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Inheriting the kingdom of God is not the same as being with God forever.
Right.
Now, some people understand it that way. In fact, many commentators understand it that way. But the problem is, you don't want to understand a couple of verses, Galatians 5, 19 to 21, in isolation.
Right.
They fall in a book called the Book of Galatians.
Yes.
And all through the book, Paul is talking about the fact that he is writing to people who have already believed and who are already born again in various churches in the region of South Galatia. For example, in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as I have said before and now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed.
Right.
Well, they received Paul's gospel, and he throughout the letter is calling them brethren. For example, in chapter 4, in verse 28, he calls them brethren. In 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free.
Right.
He doesn't say that to unbelievers.
Right, right.
So all of Galatians 5 is directed to believers. In 5:11, he says, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? He's calling them brethren.
Right.
In fact, in 5:7, he says, you ran well. Who
right.
hindered you from obeying the truth? You wouldn't say that of an unbeliever.
So he's addressing believers. What have they believed? What is the gospel or the message that they've believed? The other big emphasis in Galatians is you're justified by faith, apart from works. 2:16
right.
is a place where human words cannot be any clearer. He says it three times in a single sentence. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So it seems like Paul is going out of his way to say, listen, in terms of your justification, your works have nothing to do with it.
Absolutely. And in Galatians 5, he's basically getting into the discussion of walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. And walking in the flesh doesn't mean, as many people think, someone who's walking in open rebellion against Christ. Instead, walking in the flesh is following the Judaizers, these false teachers who were trying to bewitch them, Galatians 3:1. And so Galatians 5:4, seeking to be justified by law, would be walking in the flesh. The legalist is the one who's walking in the flesh. To walk in the Spirit is one who says, I'm not sanctified by keeping all the commandments, observing all this list all day long. No, the way I walk in the light and the way I walk in the Spirit is by falling more in love with Jesus and looking to Him. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, as the author of Hebrews says. And so when he says in Galatians 5:16, which precedes 19 to 21, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What he's saying is legalism produces fleshly indulgence.
Mm.
And that's the same message we see in Romans 7.
Right.
So it's no surprise here. And he says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That's exactly what he says in Romans 7.
Yeah.
But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Well, the way to be led by the Spirit is to let the Word of God change our thinking, Romans 12:2, and that transforms our behavior. So then he says, here's the works of the flesh.
Right.
And what Paul is saying is, look, if you're a legalist, then this is what's going to be produced in his life. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, etc.
Because the law cannot produce sanctification any more than it could produce justification.
Absolutely.
It does the exact opposite. The more you focus on the law, the more it's going to provoke the sins in you. It's just like a little kid. If you want a little kid to do something, tell them not to do it.
Exactly.
You know, that's how I used to get my kids to eat vegetables. I would say, listen, do not eat that broccoli. Absolutely. I forbid you to eat it. And they would, their little fingers would go towards the broccoli and they'd look at me and I'd say, don't do it. And then they'd start munching it as if they'd done something disobedient. But all the while, that was my whole purpose. But anyways, that's what the law does, right? It doesn't produce holiness.
The way to have holiness is to look to Christ. And by the way, a lot of people stop at Galatians 5:21 and they don't go to 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is if you walk in the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The reason he says there's no law against these things is because he's saying, look, if you want to fulfill the law, walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. He says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Right.
Obviously, the point of chapter 5 is that it's possible for the believers in Galatia, just like believers everywhere, to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh.
So basically, justification is just the beginning. It's by faith apart from works. But that's just the beginning. Now, what do you do with the rest of your life? Now you have to live out the Christian life. And there are different theories about that. You know, legalistic people, work salvation people, their view of the Christian life is going to grow out of that work salvation gospel.
Right.
And Paul is saying, this is what life in the Spirit looks like for those of us who believe in justification apart from works. You are supposed to do good things. You are supposed to have fruit.
And I might point out that Galatians 5:19 to 21 is called a vice list, a list of vices. And it includes not only things people would consider mortal sins, but it includes things like envy and jealousies and outbursts of wrath.
Right.
Things that most people would go, well, wait a minute now. Those aren't such big sins. We also find lists like this in 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11 and Ephesians 5, 5-7. In these vice lists, all three places talk about inheriting the kingdom. And I would encourage listeners to go to our website, faithalone.org. I wrote an article on Galatians 5:19 to 21 called Christians Who Lose Their Legacy. And I point out that inheritance is something different in some cases than simply being part of the family.
Right. Inheritance, that's a huge term in the Bible.
Right.
There's all kinds of laws regulating who inherits what and how much.
Right.
And that's completely different from being whether or not you're in the family at all.
Right. The firstborn son in a Jewish family would typically, unless he disqualified himself, receive a double portion.
Right.
So if there were 12 children as with Israel or Jacob, then his firstborn son Reuben should have received 2/13 and the others would have received 1/13.
Right.
But instead, what happened is that passed down to Joseph because Joseph was faithful, and Reuben, Simeon, Levi, they were all unfaithful. And so Judah got the blessing going to the Messiah and the line of Messiah and the ruler, but Joseph got the double portion. Well, here, there's two types of inheritance in the New Testament. One is passive. If you're a believer in Christ, you're an heir of God, Romans 8:17.
Okay.
But then there's being a co-heir with Christ,
yeah.
Romans 8:17b, and that requires that you walk in the Spirit.
Basically, you need to lay up treasure in heaven actively through how you live. And as you live well, you are laying up treasure in heaven. You're taking your mina, you're taking your talent, and you're multiplying it. And God will reward you based on what you've done. When my grandfather died, I inherited his house. When I was visiting him while he was still alive, I could enter his house, but that house did not belong to me. But when he died, suddenly I inherited it, it became mine. And the same way in the kingdom, every believer is going to be in the kingdom, but only some believers are going to inherit the kingdom.
And that inheritance includes ruling with Christ along with certain other privileges. I guess I would end by saying, if a person finds himself jealous or envious or some of the other things in this list, it doesn't mean he's disqualified from ruling with Christ. The question is a person walking in the flesh such that these types of things are typical of my life? Because I'm not walking with Christ. Instead, I'm walking with commandments. And the result is I'm not pleasing God. And so, yes, we as believers experience sin in our life, but we confess it and we move on, and we experience the fruit of the Spirit as we walk in the Spirit, looking to Christ, whom we love and who we long to come again soon, and we long to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to ask the question, what is the role of good works? It should be interesting. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.